Yeah. What's happening, Dr. Dre?
Rock forward, you know the drill. You're not adjusting
Let's
radio.
Get this party started, man. It's Wednesday
not
night.
Adjusting. Oh, here we go. Whoa! What time is it, Rob? You know what time
talking
it is?
Talking sports for the 12th man. We're not talking about Seattle Seahawks either.
You
can't
see me. My time is now. I love it. It's a franchise. Welcome, of course, Talking Sports with the 12 Man. It is yours truly, Andre Peterson, along with Robert Ford. You know what it is? It is Wednesday, April the 11th. Talking Sports with the 12 Man is now officially on the air. We got a packed show. Once again, Robert, will you allow me to set the table? We're talking about a lot of things tonight. Obviously, Arkansas football. Bobby Petrino, he's out. The same situation. Hopefully we'll talk a little bit about that. I know Robert's pretty sensitive about that, so we won't talk as much about that. Some NFL
it's
news, a lot
good.
Of stuff going on. It's all good. Talk about some draft preview stuff. Maybe talk about the top seven QBs, if you knew there were seven QBs out there. Some NFL updates, NBA updates, some hot teams. And we'll talk a little bit about Ozzie Guillen and his comments and suspensions, and maybe we'll touch base on that in the OT, but Pack show, as always, Rob Ford. How you doing tonight, sir?
Doing great, man. I'm ready to get this party started, man. Let's get into it. We got some hot topics, and we got a short time to get to them. Go ahead, Andre. Give people the phone number so if they want to call in before we get started.
For those that want to call in, once again, the number is 424-243-9519. That is a free call. And don't forget also to tweet us at 12ManSports as well, and also Facebook. All that jazz. So, anyway, what you do, sir?
Like us on Facebook,
yeah,
people.
Yeah,
12ManSports.
All that fun stuff. Yeah, all that fun stuff. But yeah, like I said, so basically, let's kind of jump into this. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff here. So, let's kind of talk about, Bobby Petrino, the Arkansas situation. And I got to be honest, sir, I did not see this coming at all. I thought that Bobby Petrino was going to be able to skate by, but as the more details came out, you kind of realized that his fate was kind of sealed. And just before we talk a little bit about this, and I'm going to talk about the risk and reward. If you are a Bobby Petrino or an Ozzie Guillen, there's something about these guys that they keep getting hired. I mean, they're kind of lightning rods, if you will. And kind of your thoughts as far as a lot of people keep giving them chances because, I mean, obviously you know that Bobby Petrino is a great offensive mind, but just his character is a little off and – I don't know, some thoughts about that, Rob, as we kind of like jump into one of the hottest topics that's going on right now.
Yeah, Bobby Petrino, I mean, you're talking about a coach that has been criticized for some things that's happened in the past, some deservingly, maybe some undeservingly, but, you know, he has been critical for, you know, having a secret meeting with Auburn while he was the head coach at Louisville. And, you know, of course, the way he left the Atlanta Falcons, you know, even from my point of view, you know, I thought that was, you know, extremely wrong for the way he just departed in the middle of the night and things of that nature. So he's done some things that he's been highly critical of. And in this particular instance, you know, he made the university look kind of bad by, you know, lying to the university. And the university goes out and speaks on his behalf. And but it turns out, you know, the university, as a result of speaking on his behalf, the whole story was a lie. And you know, I still was a little shocked he got fired. I was thinking maybe he was going to get a suspension or something like that, fine. And, you know, Arkansas obviously stood their ground. You know, I was thinking maybe a suspension. But and you're talking about a guy who was highly successful at Arkansas. You're talking about a program that was on the rise. I mean, it went 22-4 the last 2 years. I mean, that's an incredible run. Last season, they lost two games. And the two games they lost to was to the two teams that played in the national championship, LSU and Alabama. So they couldn't have lost to two better ball clubs. And the year before that, they only lost two games. So you're talking about, once again, a program that was on the rise, as you mentioned a few minutes ago. I mean, the guy was an offensive genius. And, you know, I mean, their program was on the rise. Now, as of now, he's fired. Tavera Johnson is now the interim head coach. And, you know, he was the assistant head coach / linebackers coach for Arkansas. So he's running the team in spring drills. I would be shocked if they go out and hire a head coach at this point. I think they're going to do similar to what Ohio State did last season, if you recall.
Yeah, I agree.
They had to fire Jim Tressel, and they just put in the interim coach, and then at the end of the season, they went out and got Urban Meyer. So I kind of think that's the route Arkansas is going to go, is maybe they'll leave Tavir Johnson in at the head coach position until the end of this season, and then they'll go out and look for a new football coach. And kind of where the option. I think it's just too late in the game. They're already going through spring practice for them to go out and get somebody new at this point. But, you know, eventually Bobby Petrino will get another job. He's just too good of a coach. And hopefully, like I said, he'll learn his lesson going forward.
Yeah, all my Falcon fans out there, and I know Robbie got to take a step back here. I mean, this is a guy that, I mean, anytime you say Bobby Petrino, that dude, that name is just synonymous with just like the ultimate slickster. I mean, you got a guy that, you know, at Louisville, he pretty much was trying to interview for the Auburn job while Tommy Tuberville was still there. And he actually, so I think he signed like a 10-year, $25.6 million contract, like a 10-year with Louisville, talking about this is where I want to be. And then the next thing you know, in January, the next year, he was announced as the Atlanta Falcon coach. So, you know, obviously, we were excited at the time. We didn't even see it coming. I mean, I remember Trevor Robert told me, yeah, Bobby Petrino was going to be your coach. And we're like, what? I mean, it came out of left field. And, you know, obviously it was just a bad year. It seems like wherever Bobby Petrino goes, a lot of trouble seems to follow because that was year, obviously, 2007, the whole Michael Vick incidents. We had problems with dogfighting. And that year we were languishing. Joey Harrington was our quarterback. And we had a 3-10 record. We were just in the cellar in the NFC South. Just a bad, bad year. And then obviously that's whenever, you know, he sends the note to the players talking about, dear Falcons players, I'm no longer going to be the coach. And just a cowardly way to exit. And, you know, like you said, this is just not a guy that I think, like you said, karma finally catches up. And, you know, you kind of want, you hope people will learn the lesson in all these incidents. I mean, doesn't look good as for him as a person to be cheating on his wife. You know, and that's, like I said, I mean, obviously things happen and there's a lot of redemption, but this is the guy, like I said, I think maybe he felt invincible. He can get away with a lot of stuff and, you know, just, it just happened. And like you said, I'm not going to say I'm trying to think of the right word, Rob, because it's one of the situations where you want to say, yeah, it's okay that he did that, or, you know, I'm not sorry, you know what I'm saying? I mean, obviously, you know, like I said, situation, you know, whatever, you know, as a human being, you learn his lesson, but like you said, good riddance, guy, man. So that's my little diatribe on the situation, Rob. So I don't know if you want to wrap anything up as far
yeah,
as.
Yeah, we can kind of move on to the, you know, the next topic here. You know, I know we got a lot to cover here tonight, but. You know, it will be interesting to see. I'm sure Bobby Petrino will not be coaching anywhere next season, but I'm sure the following season somebody will give him another opportunity. I don't know if it's going to be at a smaller school, but or maybe going as an offensive assistant, maybe in the NFL or something of that magnitude. But somebody's going to give him another shot. But like I said, hopefully going forward, you know, he will learn his lesson and, you know, will be a better man. And of course, he will continue to be a pretty good football coach. Those of you who want to call in, 424-243-9519 is the number. Call in with your questions. You could talk about any sport, anything you want to ask us, please call in. Like us on Facebook as well as if you want to send us some questions via Twitter, at 12mansports. I know we got a lot here to cover, Andre. We can move on. You know, we got another coaching issue, of course, with the New Orleans Saints.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Sean Payton suspended for the season. Joe Vitt, the assistant head coach, linebackers coach, suspended for 6 games. And the general manager, Mickey Loomis, suspended for 8 games. And as you and everybody else probably heard, Bill Parcells is not going to be coaching the Saints this coming season. So it looks like the Saints are going to stay in-house. And from what I'm gathering here, it looks like Joe Vitt is going to run the off-season program, oversee it. And then they're probably going to promote someone in-house to be the interim head coach during the football season, which is probably going to be Aaron Cromer, who's currently the offensive line coach. So, you know, there's a lot to overcome for them, but we'll have to see how that kind of shakes out. And Drew Brees said the team is ready to go, even though he doesn't have a contract. So, you know, we'll kind of see how that goes. But obviously, if you're the Saints organization, it's just time for you to put this behind you and just move forward and try to make the best of this current situation.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, how do you think it's going to affect the continuity of the Saints? You think they're going to be more challenging for them, or how do you think it's going to happen as far as this the season for you guys?
Well, I think you're going to lose a little bit. There's no doubt about it. Because Sean Payton is a master motivator, a master leader, and one of the, probably the greatest offensive play caller in the NFL. And I think overall head coach, he's one of the top five head coaches. You know, in no particular order, you got to put Sean Payton, Bill Belichick, Mike Tomlin, Tom Coughlin, and Mike McCarthy. In my opinion, they're the top five head coaches in the league. So anytime you take away a top five head coach off your ball club right in the middle of his prime, I think you're all going to lose a little bit, you know. So whoever is the interim head coach, will he have the aggressiveness that Sean Payton has? Is he going to be able to make those gutsy calls like Sean Payton does? And so I think you are going to lose a little bit, but the good thing is you got number nine. As long as you have Drew Brees, you got an opportunity to still be successful. And you still have the offensive play calling of Pete Carmichael, who, you know, a lot of people forget Sean Payton got injured last season, and Carmichael took over play calling and did just as good, if not better, than Sean Payton. So in that regard, you still have, you know, you still have number nine, you still have your offensive coordinator, but, you know, it's the little nuances that you may lose with Sean Payton. But I still think this team is a playoff team. And how far they can go, we'll have to wait and see. I'm not so sure they're a Super Bowl team without Sean Payton. So, but I think they're a team that still can get to the playoffs. And you know, you kind of see what happens from there. And they revamped their defense. They've signed three new linebackers, new defensive tackle, new defensive coordinator. So it's still an opportunity for them to have some success. I just think you're just missing some of that leadership with Sean Payton.
There you have it, the whole Saints offseason plan from Robert Ford, the insider track right there. So you got to love it.
Yeah. I know we got a lot of other exciting NFL news. And, you know, even today, Cincinnati Bengals, you know, signing Terrence Newman. You know, I think that was a solid pickup. I think it would have been a nice pickup for the Saints. But, you know, unfortunately, he's going to Cincinnati. A yeah, veteran corner, who's a solid corner, come in and play a little nickel, maybe start for you in the pinch deal. And so I think that's a good move by Marvin Lewis in Cincinnati. I think that's a team that has a chance to get back to the playoffs this season. They've been doing some nice things. Carolina, giving Steve Smith a 3-year extension. And that's a team that could have another strong year offensively. If they can get a little bit better on defense, look out for that ball club in our own division, Carolina. And I know we want to get a little bit of the draft, the quarterbacks in the draft here. I think we all know Andrew Luck is more than likely going to be a Colt, and we all know that Robert Griffin III is more than likely going to be a Redskins. But let's talk a little bit about that next five of quarterbacks. I don't know how you have them ranked. Maybe you can go ahead and talk about how you have them ranked, and maybe I can talk where I have them ranked. From there, so the next five quarterbacks in this draft and where we think, how they're ranked and where we think they may wind up.
Yeah, this was good. You know, obviously you got some guys. Obviously, the next guy after those two are going to be Ryan Tannehill from Texas A&M, 6'4" guy. You know, this may be a stretch for him, but, you know, obviously if you keep hearing the reports, this is going to be a situation where he's going to the Cleveland Browns. You have obviously a lot of heat with Miami being up there, but he's probably the next guy following that, and this is just a guy that's kind of in the right place at the right time. You have Kirk Cousins, I think we talked about him earlier, right after Tannehill, 6'2" guy from Michigan State.
Well, I have a slight change there, but we'll get to it shortly.
My
draft board has changed a little bit.
Okay, you have Brock from Ohio State going after him or something like that?
I have Tannehill, then I actually have Brandon Wheaton as my number four quarterback.
Brandon Wheaton, okay, all right, we'll go with that. Just a little side note, too, that I heard that Brock was actually talking to the Dolphins, too, so that's kind of interesting as well.
Yes, Kirk, yes.
Yep, yep, I've got Kirk, then I've got Brandon, Brandon Wheaton from Oklahoma State. He's a older guy, kind of similar to Chris Winkie coming out of the draft here. And then obviously I think I got Brock coming in right after Brandon, followed by Nick Foles from Arizona. So it can go a lot of different areas as far as that. I know some people you got Russell Wilson to consider, Kellen Moore if you will, Case Keenum. A lot of different quarterbacks out here, but those are kind of what I'm thinking as far as the next tier of quarterbacks, if you will. And what do you have for this, Rob, as we move on?
Yes, kind of similar, maybe just a little bit different, but I agree. I have Ryan Tannehill being a third quarterback, and I even have him going number 8 in the draft to the Miami Dolphins. You're talking about an organization that right now is desperate for a franchise quarterback. I don't know if Tannehill is a guy that can come in and start right away, and that's where you're going to hope that David Gerrard can come in and maybe start, not for the whole season, at least the beginning of the season until you can get Tannehill ready. But they definitely need a franchise, a face of the franchise. And so I think you're going to see them go ahead and take Tannehill to number 8. You know, Mike Sherman is the offensive coordinator with the Dolphins, and he coached Tannehill at Texas A&M, so he's got a lot of insights with him. You know, so I think that's where you're going to see Tannehill be the third quarterback. I have Brandon Wheaton being the fourth quarterback. I think he has an opportunity to go somewhere in that early second round, and I think this is a guy that's going to wind up with the Cleveland Browns. I think the Browns is another team that's looking for a starting quarterback. Wheaton, if he was 22, 23 years old, would probably be a first-round pick in this draft. But since he's a little older, you know, he played a little baseball, and he's about 28 years old, so he's probably going to be a second-round pick. But here's a guy that Cleveland is going to look at to come in and compete with Colt McCoy and possibly even beat out McCoy for that starting quarterback position. I think he can be a guy. Andy Dalton, if you recall, went the second round last season, and he started day one with the Bengals. And I think Wheaton can be that guy. You know, he's got the age, he's got the experience, and, maturity, and he can come in and possibly start day one with Cleveland, being an early second round pick with the Browns. So don't be surprised if that's where you see Brandon Wheaton go. And number 5, I have a little surprise here. I got Nick Foles as my 5th quarterback. This guy has been impressive in some of the workouts. His stock has slightly improved. And definitely not a starter day one. You're talking about an organization that, you know, maybe looking for a backup or a long-term, maybe a team that has an older quarterback that will need somebody to replace him in the future. So I can see Foles possibly being a late second, early third round pick somewhere. I have Kirk Cousins, number 6. Same thing. I kind of can see him being a third-round quarterback. And then I have Brock somewhere in that third, fourth-round range. And that kind of rounds out the my top 7. But, of course, the main – I think, you know, there's a big 4 in this draft here. When you talk Luck, RG3, Ryan Tannehill, and Brandon Wheaton, I think those are guys that can definitely be starters in this league and start a little bit in their rookie seasons too. And so I think the other 3 guys will be more so definitely be backups in their rookie seasons unless somebody just get injured and they have to play right away kind of thing. So that's a little bit about the quarterbacks in this draft. And I don't know if you want to get into anything else in the draft and if you want to discuss some other NFL news here.
Yeah, we got about 11 minutes to go, Rob. I mean, I think that's pretty good as far as some other stuff. So obviously, we try to slant towards NFL because that's one of our favorite sports, obviously. But, you know, if you have anything you want to talk about your team or any thoughts as far as what you guys think you should do, always, obviously, feel free to give us a call. Throw the number out there one more time. It's 424-243-9519. And don't forget, tweet us as well. I like that, Rob. I think it's a good situation for there's always one of those moves, always one of those players that, you know, you kind of feel like you're getting a stretch. And, you just hope that, like you said, as far as with if Tannehill definitely goes to Miami or something like that, you hope that, David Brock can come in there and kind of hold the ship until he's ready to go. And I thought that was very interesting about Nick Foles of Arizona because here's a big guy. He's about 6'5". Got great arm strength and stuff like that. You worry about his accuracy as far as that, but apparently he's had some good workouts, like you mentioned, too. And, with Wheaton, like you said, the guy's just an older guy. I mean, I guess you can't fault him for trying to try the baseball first. But, should be interesting too, and I think it's going to be a very interesting class next year, obviously, with Matt Barkley and Landry Jones, a lot of different quarterbacks too. So, you know, you kind of have that one of those situations where you're the right place, right time too. So it's going to be very, very interesting too. And I think this is a year too for certain teams if you're going to kind of prove if they're the guy, you know. So they're if you're Arizona, if Kevin Cobb is the guy, you know, there's certain couple teams out there that you want to kind of see if this
it's
is
Matt
the guy.
Matt Flynn answer in Seattle, yeah. There's going to be a couple of those teams, yeah. Mm-hmm.
A lot of good questions too, so, you know.
Somewhat of minor NFL news. Look like Cameron Wake, defensive end of the Dolphins, is holding out for a new deal. It's going to be interesting to see if he reports to the offseason workouts. Tampa Bay, in our own NFC South, they released Tanar Jackson. And rumor has it that Raheem Morris, who's the defense back coach of the Redskins now, may be looking for the Redskins to sign him since he's familiar with them as being a Tampa Bay head coach the last 3 years.
Wow.
And the Steelers went out and signed Leonard Pope, tight end, to a one-year deal. Pope, another big target. You know, a lot of teams are looking for having two pass-catching tight ends, and tight ends are definitely becoming a huge weapon in the game again, in the passing game in the NFL. There was a stretch where you didn't see a lot of tight end action, but now tight ends are definitely becoming a weapon again in the NFL. So Steelers pairing Leonard Pope with Heath Miller. You know, you got Mike Wallace already on the edge there, who's a burner. And so I think that's a nice, solid pickup by the Steelers. They only signed him to a one-year deal to see how it kind of works out. But, of course, at this time in the NFL, the free agency news is kind of light, and everybody's kind of gearing up for the draft. I think we can have about 8 or 9 minutes left. I think we can kind of get into a little bit of NBA talk to kind of wrap up the show. We're getting close to postseason play in the NBA, which is an exciting time for NBA basketball here. And got quite a bit of stories happening in the NBA right now. I mean, number one, Derrick Rose and the Bulls. Should the Bulls be concerned with his injuries right now, and you know, as far as making a run in the playoffs?
You know, the Bulls are one of those teams where I am actually impressed with, because I think Tom Thibodeau's done a great coaching job. And, you know, they didn't really add a lot of pieces in the offseason. They added Rip Hamilton. And those guys, Rip and Rose, have not had a chance to really, I guess, play together, kind of congeal. But they've been a very, very balanced team, and I give them a lot of credit. Before, I would imagine if you would have said that Derrick Rose has missed as many games as he has, you wouldn't have thought that Chicago would be this good. But that just goes to show you once again of how good of a coaching job they are and how balanced this team is. They're definitely believing in themselves, and obviously it's going to take some adjustment on Rose's part, because he's going to come in and he may want the ball a little bit more, but it can kind of go either way, Rob. It can go to where Rose kind of depends on those guys a little bit more, and then maybe he'll elevate his play in the playoffs, or, you know, like I said, or he'll try to, like, lead the team, and hopefully you don't want that to happen, because I think they're playing extremely well. There's a lot of teams that we can talk about that are very hot right about now. But, you know, like I said, it really depends on Rose's mindset. He comes in and just kind of, like, steadies the ship, and does this thing, like you said, him and them and Miami should be the top teams going into the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, I think one of the things I totally agree with you. Tom Thibodeau is a fabulous coach. He's done a tremendous job last year and this season, even more impressive this season. And one of the things that I'm impressed with is they have probably the deepest bench in the NBA right now. I mean, they very strong team, and a healthy Derrick Rose is definitely a team that's a contender in the Eastern Conference. I still think they will need him if they want to go deep in the playoffs. So they got to try to find a way to get him healthy for the playoffs. But definitely an impressive team. And I think as far as in the Eastern Conference right now, I think the Bulls and the Celtics are playing the best ball in the East. Unfortunately, the seeding stays the same right now. And if they both win their first round series, they will be meeting in the second round instead of the Eastern Conference Finals. But, you know, talking about the red-hot Celtics here, you know, they won a nail-biter over the Hawks tonight. But the Hawks is one of those teams that always give the Celtics fits. And as of right now, that would be a first-round matchup, the Celtics and the Hawks. And believe it or not, last I checked the standings, even though the Celtics has a 4 seed and Atlanta is a 5 seed, I think Atlanta has a slightly better record, which will give them the home field advantage in that series. And Woo-hoo. Like I said, Atlanta's always been the team that's played the Celtics extremely tough. But, you know, can they hold on to that little slight home field advantage edge? But the Celtics is playing as good as anybody in the Eastern Conference right now, or as anybody in the league, for that matter. And so that should be interesting. If they can get by the Hawks, they can make a run. But getting by the Hawks to them has never been easy. And, you know, and the Hawks may even have Al Horford back come playoff time.
Yeah, like I said, it's going to be good for the Hawks because, you know, very similar to what's going on with Rose. And I think, you know, like they're kind of letting guys rest. I mean, the Hawks, we have to get over that mental toughness edge because we I was watching the game, and we had about four opportunities to win the game. The Celtics kept making mistakes, and it's a mental toughness thing at that juncture. So, you know, hope back in the playoffs. And like I said, we do match up well against the Celtics. And, you know, they keep getting older, but, you know, not to say that it's a problem as far as that. We're not talking about them. We respect them as a team. But, you know, there's something about having mental toughness and being able to overcome certain challenges to do some things. And those guys have a lot of playoff wins under their belt. You know, very similar to the San Antonio Spurs, just a team that you can't quite count them out because they have so much experience in the playoffs and they have mental toughness, not only from the players, but also from the coaching staff. So they've been there before. And these are some teams, like you said, that you definitely have to keep an eye on, too. So I know I kind of switched over to the Western side, but, you know, that's kind of my thoughts and everything, too. And, you know, hopefully, as a Hawks fan, we'll definitely try to get out of the first round into the second round and make some damage. But, you know, as mentioned, you know, it looks like Chicago and Miami are kind of scheduled to meet in the finals.
Yeah. Yeah, Miami's not playing that great right now, too. We have to see if they can get it together. You know, they do have some talent on that team. But, you know, once again, not having a point guard, not having a center, it seems to be hurting the Heat. And so we'll kind of see if they could make a run. They have no answer for Rajon Rondo. And but, yeah, getting over to the Western Conference, the Spurs had won 11 straight up until tonight. And the Lakers went into San Antonio and got a win without Kobe Bryant. And I was kind of looking like I was kind of starting to favor the Spurs to come out of the West right now. But they got upset tonight at home. You know, sometimes, you know, when you're running up against a team without their star, you can possibly take them lightly. And, you know, unfortunately, that's a little human nature. Maybe that's what the Spurs did. But, you know, we'll see how they respond after this loss against the Lakers. But they were playing as good as anybody in the league, for that matter, not just the Western Conference. And what about this injury with Kobe Bryant? The shin, should the Lakers be concerned? I mean, I don't think you can keep a guy like Kobe Bryant out that long, so I'm pretty sure he's going to be back in the next week or so, or definitely ready for the playoffs. Can the Lakers make a run, or you think the Spurs and the Thunder are just head and shoulders above them this season?
Yeah, I kind of think they're kind of head and shoulders. Even though I was reading some tweets as far as Andrew Bonham had an incredible night. I think he had like 30-something rebounds or something crazy like that. But he had a really good night as far as rebounding the Meta World Peace. That still sounds really weird. Meta World Peace finishes with 26 points. I don't know if this situation where certain players are getting an opportunity to kind of shine. But, you know, as mentioned, I definitely think that it's kind of like put a fork in them. They are done. Rob, I apologize, sir. I missed our little two-minute warning here. We got about a minute 30 left, if you will. So as we kind of wrap up the show, and maybe we can still talk about some more NBA talk and kind of some general topics in the OT. But you want to say anything as we kind of wrap up the show as well?
Yes, if
like
you all can.
Time to get everything in, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
If you all can tune into our OT, we got another 15 minutes in our OT section coming up. We got some more NBA talk. We got Dwight Howard and Orlando Magic talked about. We got Dallas Mavericks and Lamar Kardashian to talk about. And we're going to stay on for another 15 minutes if you guys can re-click into our OT portion. If not, join us next Wednesday, same time, same place, 10 p.m. Central, 11 p.m. Eastern. For our fans in Hawaii, that's 5 p.m. Hawaiian time. Join us next week. We got some more draft coverage, more NBA coverage. Stay tuned.
As always, it's a pleasure for everyone to listen. And don't forget to check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/12thmansports. Also, tweet us at 12thmansports as well. If you guys want to call in, just jot this number down for future reference, 424-243-9519. For all, thanks for listening in. And we're starting the OT shortly. Thanks, everybody.
Good night, people.
As always, man, it's a great time to jump into the next lesson or next part of the show, which is the OT. And, you know, kind of finish what we're talking about earlier as far as if the Lakers are kind of the done team, and I definitely think that's the case. The Spurs, it's kind of like who's playing best, like, right now. And like you said, Spurs have been having that 11-game winning streak. I know they took the Lakers lightly tonight. But this is a team, as mentioned, that they have that mental toughness to continue to play well. They got, like, a lot of playoff experience. And they continue to reload. They're getting younger, better, you know, lightning can strike twice again. So they're going to be a tough out, whoever plays them, obviously. But, you know, still, clearly, you know, Oklahoma City's kind of head and shoulders above everybody else, too. But that's my thoughts. I think it's going to be kind of hard for the Lakers to make any moves.
Yes, right now the Lakers are the 3 seed. They will be playing the Houston Rockets, the 6 seed, if it stays the same. You know, I know the Rockets beat the Lakers in L.A. a few weeks ago, but I just can't see the Rockets beating the Lakers in a series. I still think the Lakers can come out of that series. And then you have an opportunity to probably face the Spurs in the next round. And actually, Lakers may just match up well with the Spurs. And, you know, I know the Spurs and the Thunder are still battling for that number one seed, so it could possibly be the Oklahoma City Thunder. I don't think the Lakers can beat the Thunder. I think the only team that can beat the Thunder is the Spurs. And I think it's one of these kind of things is matchups. I think the Lakers may match up better with the Spurs, but they don't match up with the Thunder. But I think the Spurs match up with the Thunder. I know that sounds confusing, but... it's one of those kind of things that the Lakers just seem to have the size over the Spurs, but they just don't match up with the quickness and speed of the Thunder. But I think the Spurs have a nice youth and of course experience mixture to where they can match up with the Thunder. So it's just kind of one of those things if you know, you have to find the right matchup in the playoffs, and I think that kind of goes with any series. You know, some teams just match up better than others. And I think a team that the Lakers want to avoid also is the Memphis Grizzlies. I think the Grizzlies match up well with the Lakers. And I think that's the team the Lakers want to see in the first round.
I agree with you. Memphis, I mean, they're kind of one of those teams that they don't think it's like they're kind of young. They're like, hey, we're not supposed to be here. So they kind of played out of their minds last year, too. So, very talented team, very scary team, too. Go ahead, I'll let you continue that. But,
Yes. And staying in the Western Conference here, the Dallas Mavericks, they're the defending world champions, and right now they're hovering between that 7th and 8th seed. They clearly don't look like a team that can repeat, you know, unless just something miraculously turns around. And they clearly missed Tyson Chandler this season. That should have been a move that they should have tried to keep to help them with the defensive interior. And but they're just not the same team. They go out and get Lamar Odom in a trade for basically nothing. You think you're getting a version of Lamar Odom that can just do so many different things. So on the surface, you look like that looks like a great pickup for the Dallas Mavericks. It turns out to be a disaster. Lamar Odom had a rough summer, and off season. They say he didn't work out on his game. He had a couple of tragedies in his life, and. You know, and it just turns out to be, it just seems like he's just turned too Hollywood and just not ready to play and just turned out to be a whole disaster, and he was just a distraction in the locker room. And now they've mutually agreed that he's going to be inactive the rest of the season. But get this, he's still going to get paid. I don't know if you heard what Charles Barkley said today. Charles Barkley made the comment, usually I'm in favor of the players, but how in the hell is Dallas still going to pay Lamar Odom?
Wow.
This is Charles Barkley's comments.
Oh, wow. You know, I think it's interesting too. You know, I don't think that he got too Hollywood. I just think that I don't think he really wanted to leave the Lakers. I mean, and you know, you know, his wife is probably surrounding that. I don't know if, like you said, I don't know if Hollywood. I just think it's a situation where, you know, you've been in the league for a certain amount of years as he has, and this is kind of where you're comfortable at. The trade to Dallas obviously was kind of a botched thing. I don't think that it was intended for him to leave. You know, I don't know. Say what you will. but I kind of hearken it very similar to what happened with Joe Horn this last year. If you don't want to be somewhere, you know, obviously don't do us any favors here. You know, if you're going to be a distraction to the team, you know, yeah, you don't need to come around. I mean, let's go ahead and we'll let you go. Like you said, the fact that he's getting paid is just amazing. But like you said, it's just not a good scenario if you're not happy where you are, you know?
Yes. Yes, totally. And there's rumors that Lamar Odom and Mark Cuban got some shouting matches at halftime of a recent game. And that was just the, you know, that's just kind of where things just got even worse. And, you know, it just turns out that he just may have been a distraction in that locker room. And maybe Dallas can get hot with him not around. Maybe there's no more distractions. Maybe they can focus on basketball a little bit. I still think it's a stretch for Dallas to, you know, get back to where they were last season. It just doesn't look like it's going to happen. And from on the surface, it just looks like they're going to have a first-round exit this season if they make the playoffs, because Phoenix is right on their tail. Both Phoenix is on the tail of Dallas and Denver. So that's a three-team race to get those last two spots. So, but if they get in, I see them going out in the first round. We got another little chaotic situation down in Orlando. Dwight Howard,
chaotic.
Stan Van Gundy. That's very interesting. I tell you, the stars in the NBA, a lot of them are coming very prima donna. And here we have another one where, you know, Dwight Howard is in some cases acting like a little baby, and he's trying to get the coach fired. In one game recently, they were losing, I think, to the Knicks, and he was just sitting at the end of the bench by himself, not huddling up with the rest of the team. So, you know, very non-professional attitude in Orlando. And this is another organization that I think is just going to have a first-round exit. They, you know, there's some talent on that team. Anytime you got a guy like Dwight Howard on your team, you have a chance. But I just don't think things are together in that locker room right now. It's just a chaotic situation. That's another team I think is going to go out in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, you made a key point. We talked about this earlier. And the word that I'm going to say, one word, Rob, chemistry. And at certain junctures, there's certain teams that have chemistry, no matter what, you know, and you can tell, you know, the teams that play well, you know, they just have it. And right now, for whatever reason, you can't fake it. You know, it feels like a reality show over here that we got to keep up with. You know, she said this, Dwight talking about Stan behind his back. Stan not really happy with what's going on. He doesn't want to, you know, he wants to stay there, but Dwight doesn't want him there. And, you know, prima donnas, like you said earlier, and just play ball. You know, what are you there to do, Dwight? Do you want to be in Orlando, or do you want to leave? If you don't want to be there, deuces. You know, don't sit there and keep, you know, talking about how things need to be changed and stuff like that. Be part of the solution, not part of the problem. So, you know, because of all these chemistry problems and Dwight thinking about L.A. or wherever he's going to be, New Jersey, wherever, it's causing a serious problem with the Orlando Magic. So, you know, like I said, they're going to have a first-round bounce out. This is the first time that I would actually say I prefer to play the Magic because their head's not in the game. So, you know, whoever plays them, it's going to be an easy – I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but, you know, like you said, just because of that fact, you know, yeah, they're going to agree. They're going to be knocked out. I agree with you wholeheartedly about that.
Yes. Right now, Orlando's the sixth seed in the West. You know, I know there's still some basketball to be played here, and that could change. They'll be placing the three seed in the East, you're correct. Orlando's the sixth seed in the East, and they will be playing the Indiana Pacers, who are the three seed. And Indiana's playing really good ball, and I just don't see Orlando being able to beat that team right now. And so I think we're both in agreement. Look like Orlando is going to have a first-round exit. And some other little bit of NBA news came out today. Ricky Rubio, point guard in Minnesota, you know, he's been out for about 3 or 4 weeks now. He's going to miss the rest of the season. Word is that he may not even be ready for training camp next season. And this was a team that was starting to make a run toward that 8-9 place, and they're kind of tailing off without Rubio. How good do you think this Minnesota Timberwolves team could be in the future with Rubio and Kevin Love? And even Derek Williams.
I mean, they have a very dynamic future. Obviously, a lot of hype about Ricky Rubio. And whenever I actually started watching him, I was impressed. I mean, this guy, he is very Steve Nash-like.
just kind of sees the court well, impacts the game. He's not that much of a scorer just yet, but sometimes you don't need that. If you surround him with some scorers, with some runners, with some athletes, obviously with the young Derek Williams just kind of doing this thing and Kevin Love, this team is going to be extremely dangerous. Like I said, I think they definitely need another shooter or two, maybe a spot-up guy, and then maybe like another slasher. But the future looks very, very bright if you're a Minnesota Timberwolves fan. I think Kevin Love is a very underrated player. And I say that not because he doesn't get enough publicity, just more or less like this guy is just a solid double-double guy doing his thing. And, if he had better point guard play, obviously that's why they drafted Rubio. This is going to be a team that's going to be a force to reckon with in the future.
Yeah, Kevin Love might be one of the best power forwards in the game right now. He just don't have a whole lot of help on that team. I mean, this guy is a 20-and-20 kind of player on a lot of nights. Incredible. Mm-hmm. He can step out and shoot the ball. And, this is a, of course, being a Hornets fan, we were hoping the Timberwolves would lose a lot more games. And we own their first-round pick this year. And so hopefully we can, we have two lottery picks here in this draft. So hopefully we can get both of those two picks in the top three. I know there's wishful thinking to a lot of people, but, I'm just one of those people that are hoping. Just believe
the
it for the best.
The rich get richer. The rich get richer
hey,
if that happens, man.
The Hornets are not rich right now. It'd be like the poor getting rich. So, we need those two players. We need them, to come in and be some studs. I like to see the Hornets get Anthony Davis and Thomas Robinson. We can use both of those guys, or Anthony Davis and Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, that combination. The 76ers, what's happened to them here last stretch here? Early in the season, they got off to a great start, looked like a team on the rise, and they're struggling just to stay in the playoff race right now. And right now they're holding down that 7th seed. We'll be having to play the Miami Heat in the first round if this stays the same. But this is a team that have been leading the Atlantic Division for most of the season. Now it's kind of tailed off, and Boston has overtaken them with their lead in that division. And, what has happened to that team?
That's a good question. And sometimes you still know, Rob. And I think this has to do something we talked about earlier, kind of similar to the Hawks. It's like a mental toughness. You get to the point whenever you're starting to play, and then for whatever reason they'd had the chemistry earlier this year, and they just started like you hit that tailspin. And whether or not they have enough veterans on that team to kind of pull them out, that may be a situation, because they are a younger team, and I think they kind of got out the gates really fast. And I think they even surprised themselves. They surprised a lot of people. And like I said, I think some things kind of caught up to them. And I don't know if it's coaching, Rob. I can't really put my finger on everything, but I think it's a mental toughness that they have to kind of like get that shit turned around. So I don't know your thoughts as far as that.
I think it's on the Sixers case that they're a young team. They're still learning how to close, and I think it's just one of those growing pains for that organization. So I think they, are still a team that could be a very good team in the near future. Jrue Holiday, Lewis Williams, Andre Iguodala. So there's some talent on that team. The other thing that possibly hurt them, Spencer Hall has had a great start this season, and he just got injury prone, missed about 20, 25 games. That's when a tailspin caught it. He's talking about a 7-foot big man who can rebound, who can shoot the ball. And I think that's where the tailspin started. He's probably still not 100% right now. But, I think this is a team that can be on the rise in the future. But this year will be another first-round exit, unfortunately, for Philadelphia fans with the 76ers. I think we're kind of winding down here. Dre, I don't know what the clock says. We've probably got about a minute left.
Yep, about close to that, like 40-something seconds here. But all is well. But as always,
yeah. It's
great talking with you, man, as far as talking sports, man.
It's been fun. Hopefully you all are listening, enjoyed the show. Once again, tune in next week, next Wednesday, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific, and our fans in Hawaii, 5 p.m. Hawaiian. Join us. We got some NFL and NBA draft, NBA playoffs. So we got a lot to talk about next Wednesday.
It's going to be a fun time, as always. Don't forget, like us on Facebook, check us out, tweet us, all that jazz. For Robert Ford, I am Andre Peterson signing out. Until next Wednesday, you know the drill. We'll talk to you guys soon. Thank you.
Good night, people.